Consideration of written submission received on the international arbitration bill.
Yes.
That is what we're dealing with.
Which means it's where we are saying that the committee don't have any further concerns to raise with regard to this matter. Another one, Chair.
I don't follow you.
I'm saying based on input that we have just entertained, it's very clear that we don't have any further concerns with regard to the arbitration.
Maybe
based on that, can we then move for the adoption of it, please?
We have not arrived at that particular point now. If you can hold, you can move later. But let's check first with the members if they are satisfied with the responses that we received from the department. And also any other issue, honourable members, in terms of the submissions that we were received on this particular bill. Honourable Munakene. Pushing me to item 2 of the agenda, consideration and adoption of the International Arbitration Bill, Bill 10B, 2017, Section 75. Can I request for a mover formally?
I move, Chair.
Honorable Mahabi moves. Honorable Managedi? Honourable Mosnagedi, second. Thank you very much. So the bill is agreed to. Can we then deal with item 2A, the consideration and adoption of the Select Committee report on the bill? Can I have a formal mover as well? Honourable Twimbi.
Yes, sir.
Honourable Mthethwa. Honourable Mthethwa second. So the bill is agreed to by the committee. The report is agreed to by the committee. Thank you very much. Can we now consider item 3, which is consideration of written submission received on the legal practice amendment bill? I'm not sure from your side, TM, who's going to address us on this one. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to say a few introductory words. We've got comments from two organizations. One's the National Bar Association of South Africa, and the other one is Clear Law South Africa. I want to just inform the committee that both these organizations made representations on the bill when it was in the portfolio committee. And the representations are virtually exactly the same that were made at the portfolio committee, at the ones that have been tabled for this committee's consideration. The content, gist of their submissions are exactly the same as the gist of their submissions to the portfolio committee. We prepared a document, I trust that it's been handed out, setting out the issues that were raised and the department's response to those issues. Those responses were also made when we appeared before the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee listened to what the department had to say and considered the matter. I want to give a bit of background here as well, Chair. Some of the comments that were made when we were in the National Assembly and portfolio committee went beyond the scope of the bill. The bill, as we pointed out when a briefing was done on the bill, is to facilitate the implementation of the Legal Practice Act and not to deal with substantive matters. And quite a few of the submissions, and particularly these two, made proposals that go beyond the scope of the Act. Well, go beyond the scope of the bill. And our response in quite a few instances was that, bearing in mind the time constraints that we have with the bill, some of the proposals that were made although the department isn't opposed to them, they need to be dealt with at a later stage, possibly when the council is in place, and hopefully the council will be in place, and that's the South African Legal Practice Council, is in place soon. So some of the proposals that were made are not within the scope of the bill and were rejected on that basis. Others were rejected because the department didn't agree with the reasons set out in the document that has been made available. So with that as background, Chair, we in this committee's hands as to how you would like us to deal with the document that was made available. We can take the committee honourable members through the comments and the department's responses to them, but we'll be guided by what the House wishes.
DM?
Nothing to add. As Mr. Bassett has said, from looking at the comments, they were generally beyond the ambit of the bill, as was in the case when they went to the National Assembly. Alternatively, I think two of them, they haven't actually, similar to what was done with the International Arbitration Bill, they haven't applied their minds for the amendment that came to the amendments that were made in the National Assembly. So basically the bottom line is we're not, from the department side, supporting any of the proposals that they're making. They've either been accommodated already and they haven't sort of acknowledged that, because I think they looked at an earlier draft of the bill, or the issues that they want changed are beyond the scope of the bill. As I think I said in the briefing, this issue of the regulation of attorneys and advocates is a long-standing, difficult issue, which has gone on for many years. There was some kind of resolution with the Legal Practice Act. The intention of this bill is not to reopen those issues, but to attend to technical matters that the National Forum had brought up.
Honourable Mohabi, noted, Honourable Wana.
Chairperson, with due respect, you know, perhaps the mistake is how the agenda is structured. Remember, earlier on, before we can even go out and solicit submissions, we had the briefing from the department. So today, I'm not sure it's another repetition or if it's solely based on the submission made. If it's on the basis of the submission made, can I then go to the recommendations with due respect?
No. The first meeting was about the introduction of the bill to the committee.
Yes.
Then the second one, which is this one, is about the consideration and deliberation on the bill and also adoption of the bill.
Yes. Chairperson, by virtue that prior to us coming here, the circulation and distribution of the reports, we had a preview of going through the report, Chair.
Yes, but we that does not necessarily mean we should not allow members also to deliberate on the bill in this particular meeting. Can we please allow members, Honourable Mohabi, I get what you say, but if we can allow other members who want to throw clarification questions on the report, on the bill itself, and also on the submissions.
Okay.
Honourable Mtetwa. No, I have noted Honourable Wana. Can I recognize Honourable Wana and note you, Honourable Mtetwa?
Chairperson, I don't think I'll be long on this clarity. It's a small clarity. Maybe the DM is going to assist me. What is the current situation in this amendment bill around the organizations of the legal fraternity like NADEL and like BLA, Black Lawyers Association? What is going to be their participation around this bill currently? Because in the previous one, there was the participation of organized attendees. Thank you.
Honourable Mtetwa?
For the first time, I wanted to support Honourable Mohabi. We cannot deliberate and deliberate and deliberate with the same thing that we deliberated on.
The greatest of respect, honourable members, the rules allows us to deliberate on this bill, and the members, if they have no issues, they've got all the rights to suggest and submit to this meeting that they have no issues, and therefore we can consider and adopt the bill as is. Honorable Mahapil?
Chairperson, perhaps it's a slight misunderstanding. We are not saying let's not consider or deliberate. But by the look of things, many a times we are the ones who started with the introduction of the same bill. Hence, we are saying, as and when we get submissions, we had a privy to go through the submissions. Hence, we are saying, instead of us really prolonging it, let's go to where we need to conclude this matter. Chairperson, can I go with due respect? Based on the observation, Chairperson, that there's no further input on the bill itself.
Okay, can you hold on that? Just allow Honorable Munaki.
I wanted to say that for sure the Chairperson is listening very, very attentively, and he has noted the progressive proposals that are coming from the two colleagues of mine, Honorable Mteto and Honorable Mahadi. So let's allow the Chair to take it from there.
Honourable members, we are really on Christmas mode, I can see.
DM. Just quickly, there was a question raised about BLA and Nardel, so I think I just quickly need to respond to that. They are represented on the National Forum. It's in the actual Legal Practice Act, so they're very much part of this process. What happens when the Act fully comes into effect would be up to BLA and Nardel because they are not statutory bodies. So that's the short and simple answer to the question.
That was your answer, Honourable One. I'm sure you got it there. Can we now, Honourable Members, go to item 3?
Item 3? Chair?
No, it's item 4 actually that we're going to now.
Yes.
It is consideration and adoption of the Legal Practice Amendment Bill. That is what you proposed earlier, Honorable Mohabi. You want to come back again and.
Yes.
Yes.
Chairperson, given that we have gone through the submissions made, like it has been clearly spelled out, and through our observation as a committee, we are aware that the submission that has been made is more of substantive in nature, of which the bill was not dealing with it. I was going to suggest that let's adopt the amendment without any... I mean, let's adopt the bill without amendment changes. That would be my submission. Thanks.
Munagedi?
Yeah. Your Honor, I also wanted to say I support. Now that you're given the opportunity, I second the motion by Honorable Mahadi. Thank you.
So the bill is agreed to? For referral to the House for consideration. Thank you very much. That's your Christmas, dear.
Thank you very much. Yes, I must just say, and I know you still want the briefing on the magistrate, but the China Africa, what's the journey project? Anyway, the China Africa arbitration body are meeting. They're having their international conference in Cape Town this weekend. I'm speaking, so I was very eager with the International Arbitration Bill to be able to say that the Select Committee's passed it and it will be in the House. So that's my Christmas present. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Enjoy it. Ligan, can you please address us on Magistrate Cleaver? Thank you. We're now on item 4B. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you, to the DM and honorable members. My name is Nathan Jemani from Legal Services. Chair, we received a request to brief you quickly on the application that's been brought by Magistrate Jewa against the Minister, the Magistrates Commission, and the Portfolio Committee on Justice. To challenge, Ms. Kubai's application challenges the decision of the or recommendation of the commission to remove her from office. The facts of the matter are known to the committee. The committee has considered the report of the matter already. What I'll be speaking to on chair today is just the effect of the court application.
Please hold on.
Mr. Chair, point of order, I do apologize, but I'm backing to hear what the gentleman is saying. I really couldn't hear from the beginning. If you could just repeat it and put the mic right at his mouth. Thank you.
My apologies, Honourable Member. I started by introducing myself. My name is Natin Chenna. I work as a Parliamentary Legal Advisor. And I also noted that we received this request to come and brief the committee very late yesterday, to brief the committee on the court application that has been brought by Magistrate V.T. Grieber, who has been recommended to be removed from office by the Magistrates Commission. And I further noted that this committee has already considered the Magistrates Grieber's matter and reported on it. But subsequent to that, Magistrate Grieber then brought the court application to try and prohibit Parliament from proceeding and removing her as recommended by, to proceed to remove her or not as recommended by the Magistrates Commission. So I also noted that I will not be repeating the facts of the matter, as the matter has already been considered here. I will simply speak to the legal effect of the court application that is now currently before the High Court. Firstly, I just want to note, as the committee has already done in considering the matter, that there is a positive legal obligation for Parliament to act within reasonable time in terms of Section 13, Subsection 4C of the Magistrates Act, to act within reasonable time in considering and resolving on a report of the Commission that is referred to Parliament by the Minister of Justice, as it has happened in this instance. And that the intervention that has been brought by Magistrate Cooper before the High Court by merely citing one of the committees of Parliament in the application without necessarily seeking recourse against it is not sufficient in law, is not justified basis in law to prohibit Parliament from proceeding to do what the law requires it to do, as I've noted in Section 13.4, Subsection C. That's in a nutshell our advice to the Portfolio Committee, which has a couple of days ago asked us to advise on the applicability, on the application, on the legal effect of the application that has been brought before the High Court. We in the opinion which we will share with the committee, Chair, we will forward copies of the application after we have given it to our clients, which is the Portfolio Committee on Justice. We go into detail about analyzing the law that's applicable, which is the common law principle of subjudicare. And that principle basically says that the matter that is before court to protect the integrity of the judicial process should not be considered elsewhere or should not be interfered with. There is a Supreme Court of Appeal judgment in the Media Television versus the Director of Public Prosecution of the Western Cape that considered the matter. And it gave the standard that there is no blanket approach that by merely putting a matter before a court, it means that Parliament then would be prohibited from considering such a matter. And we note in our opinion that principle of subject level, common law principle of subject level, does not apply in this instance, and that Parliament must proceed as required by law to do what it needs to do in terms of the Magistrates Act. And our advice to the Portfolio Committee Chair and the advice here is that the committees must continue to do what they are required to do by law in terms of the Magistrates Act, which is to either remove or not remove the magistrate as recommended by the Commission. And the report of this committee, which has already been considered, or the matter has been considered and reported in this committee, and the report of the committee is very clear about the position of this committee regarding this matter of magistrate. Thank you.
Honourable members' comments? This was for purposes of information. Remember, we have considered the reports, and the reports are already 86. And we needed to do this because we only received the court papers after the committee has considered the matters. We needed to understand how does it affect the litigation, how does it affect our decision as a committee. That's why we then requested the legal service to come in here. But then we are allowed to interact with the briefing that we got now. Honourable Enderbrook.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. We've been informed previously by the Commission that due to the legal knowledge of the magistrates that have appeared before us and their cases, It has made this exceptionally challenging to further their cases and advance with their suspension or dismissal from offices. And it's been a very lengthy process. So my question therefore is, taking that into consideration and the legal knowledge of the magistrate, what is the way going forward going to be? Does it mean that his whole suspension gets put on hold? If we can just have clarity in terms of that, I'll really appreciate that. Oh, is it a she? Okay, I do apologize, it's a she. So there does appear to be gender equality in the profession. I'm very glad to hear that. But Chair, if we can just have clarity in terms of what does this actually mean in terms of the process of her suspension and termination. Thank you.
Okay, can we take more questions? Can we note TF then and respond later? Honorable Modagedi?
Yeah, I might have missed something, I think, in the input just maybe here on or from the documentation sent to us. I just want to understand what is the basis of the court application by the said magistrate.
Honorable Teta, you had to end now.
I wanted to say these are not parallel issues because the matter is taken to court. We have already taken our own decision as a committee. So I think we can get a very good advice that our decision, according to me, still stands even if the magistrate went to court against the commission.
Thank you, Deb. And you shall follow with us.
If I can just start and then the legal advisor can add. I mean, just as far as recap, this committee's dealt with the matter. There were three magistrates. You dealt with all three reports, and they've been put in the ATC. In the National Assembly, they were going to finalize this last week, and they did, in fact, finalize the other two magistrates. But Mrs. Kleber then served or instituted an application for a review of the decision of the disciplinary committee, but she pleaded guilty, so all she wanted to review was the sanction, the removal. She accepted she was guilty, she pleaded guilty, but she was trying to review the sanction. She waited, I think about 6 months to do that. I mean, it's 6 months after the DC decision was taken and the Magistrates Commission had decided. She cited only the Portfolio Committee, I mean, as far as Parliament's concerned, only the Portfolio Committee. So she didn't cite the National Assembly, and from the NCOP's side, she didn't cite the Select Committee, she didn't cite the NCOP itself. So that's the issue, and she didn't apply for, usually if people want to stop action, they would go for an urgent interdict, to interdict the House from considering something. She didn't do that. So that's basically the background, but I think I've responded on the basis. I'm not quite sure what she's going to say because she said it was procedurally unfair. The main thing from looking at the papers that when they decided on the sanction, they asked her for an input before they finalized the sanction. And then the presiding officer made their decision. But they set out the extenuating circumstances and the aggravating circumstances. Her complaint seems to be is that they never came back to her to explain what the response was to her submissions. But obviously they'd done that in terms of considering it. You don't go as NCO, as a select committee. When people make submissions, you consider them, but you don't go back to each person and say, look, as far as your submission, this is what our response was. And that seems to be the issue she's complaining about. So it doesn't seem as though it's particularly strong. But anyway, that's the issue. I would suggest also, and the legal advisor can respond, that it's your what's called functus. You've performed your function, you're out of it. That the advice should maybe be given to the NCOP itself so they can, the chief whip and the secretary can decide whether to proceed with plenary. I mean, your advice is I think that they can, but that you should not just wait for the NA committee, but also give that advice to the NCOP itself, what do you call it, the table staff?
Thank you, Chair. The DM, thank you very much, DM, has already provided the background to the issue, which we're not privy to, because our involvement with this matter was merely to the extent that we were served with papers or the application that is currently before court. I simply just want to respond to the matter that raised by Honorable Engelbert relating to the magistrate being knowledgeable in matters of law and what the implications for this matter are. I think DM has partly responded. I believe DM has already partly responded to the issue of the magistrate that you raised, ma'am. The matter of the magistrate having knowledge of law and how she has frustrated the process and how the process has been lengthy and so on. I just wanted to also link that to the honourable member's question about what the basis of the application are, which the DM has also spoken to. And I just want to state that what happens in Parliament, both in the NCOP committee, this committee, and as well as in the PC on Justice at the NA level, is simply following the prescripts of the law, strictly following the principles set out in the applicable legislation. And whichever way the committee, after considering the matter and applying itself to the issue, decides the matter as directed by the law and the applicable rules, it does not necessarily mean that a court might come to the same conclusion. The court will be guided by its own principles to come to the same conclusion, to its own conclusion. However, as the DM has noted, the committee has considered the matter, it has followed the prescripts, and it has come to its own conclusion and completed the matter, this committee completed the matter at this level. And the next level would be to take a house resolution on the matter, and the matter will have been completed in the NCOP. However, the act envisages that the matter must be completed or considered and reported on or resolved on by Parliament, meaning the PC on Justice still has to do the same thing. So the same process, which is why we're advising the Committee on Justice, we're advising the committee the same thing, that it must proceed as directed by law to consider the matter, decide on it at the committee level, take it to the House and resolve on it, so that Parliament then will have resolved on the matter. And the decision of Parliament will stand until such time that it has been challenged. And it has now, if it is now challenged, if the decision of the Commission is challenged successfully and it is now being challenged by the magistrate, the court decision will supersede that of Parliament, or Parliament will be bound by whatever decision that the court comes to. I just feel that the members would want to note that information. However, before the court has decided on the matter, the decision of Parliament in this regard will stand. Thank you.
Thank you. Any follow-ups? None. None. Thank you very much. That was for information purposes in any case, honourable member. Thank you very much. DM and your team, I think you are free now to go enjoy your Christmas.
Thank you, Chair, for progressive chairing. Just so to please get these matters put down for plenary before you rise. Then that's my Christmas present.
How many Christmases do you have in a year? Thank you very much. If you can step out quietly, please, we still have business to do. Honourable members, we now come to the last item of the meeting, the minutes of the previous meeting, dated 8th of November 2017. Can you quickly go through the document and adopt it? It's in your pack. Have you got the minutes? Order? Honourable Mteto. We can't have that, Honourable Oliver. We can't have that in the meeting. We have one meeting, so let's please be orderly. Can we please to do the minutes? I'm now on page one of the minutes. Any comments? None. Page two. None. Page three, which is the last page. Nothing. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes, please? Honorable Mteto moves.
I move.
And Honorable Oliphant.
Second.
Thank you very much. At least you are giving on something, although you are too much. So one other sentence as well. Thank you very much. So the business of the meeting. So we are done with the business of the meeting, honourable members. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Give a G Q I B A.
Okay. Right.